Another meeting will be held in Jakarta next week, this one convened by the World Bank. The subject, rebuilding. Officials will consider whether to rebuild the same types of homes and buildings in the same spots or invest in making things safer. NPR's David Kestenbaum reports.
Here's a question. Can you construct a tsunami-proof building? Ian Robertson says the answer is yes. He's a structural engineer at the University of Hawaii, and he's been downloading scores of home videos of the tsunami that have been posted on the internet. They show human tragedy, but also hope. Many hotels near the shore seem to have done just fine.
A number of those videos show the surge coming over the shoreline, through a small cabana, over the pool, and running through the first floor, breaking windows, running around the columns, and not doing any structural damage. The structure itself was fine, and all of the people above the second, third floor in those structures survived.
Or take another video. It shows a simple building on the beach standing on concrete columns. A significant wave comes in, breaks on the structure itself. It survives with no apparent damage.
And had there been ramps up to the top of that small structure, people could run up onto the top of this building within less than a minute, 5 minutes at the most.
Robertson says Japan has built evacuation structures on some beaches. They're basically restrooms or changing rooms, but the roof is designed for people to get up on in case of a tsunami.
I'm not sure that that needs to be done in the Indian Ocean because the potential for or the likelihood of a similar event in the future is very small. The likelihood in the Pacific is almost guaranteed.
And this is a difficulty. Hotel-grade buildings and evacuation centers cost money. Many areas hit by this tsunami are poor. And there is no other recorded event in human history of a tsunami this large in the Indian Ocean. One scientist estimates something like this might happen in the Indian Ocean every 100 years or every 500 years. No one knows for sure. One simple solution, of course, would be to rebuild things on higher ground. Robert Dalrymple has been thinking about that. He's president of the Association of Coastal Engineers and a professor at Johns Hopkins University.
Some of the satellite photographs afterwards, it was pretty clear that the overland flows just totally scoured out and obliterated the houses and the forests. I mean, there are places where it was just bare earth, that the vegetation was gone, the trees were gone, the houses were gone. It would be wise to look at areas that were heavily impacted by the tsunami and say, well, these are areas where we shouldn't build. So basically, you should avoid areas where there's strong inundation.
Do you think that's likely to happen?
No.
It's hard to keep people from living in disaster-prone areas, he says. Think of coastal Florida. It's particularly hard when people depend on the ocean for their livelihood. Tad Murthy is a leading tsunami expert who is on his way to India to advise its government.
To me, just from the socio-economic conditions, it would be extremely difficult to put a strip of land 3 kilometers wide all along the India's coast without any development. It just would not happen. Very, very, very difficult to have that kind of a barrier of no man's land, what you can call, where nothing will be put in place. So evacuation is the only alternative left.
Murthy is pushing for an early warning system. One aid official says if such a system is developed, it should not be just for tsunamis, but for cyclones, flooding, and storms, the things that happen every year. David Kestenbaum, NPR News.